fighting for America.
The Republican Party is in this big, massive civil war. It's Tea Party versus establishment libertarians versus social conservatives. There's infighting, conflict, backbiting, discord.
Fighting for Idaho.
I don't want to scare people, but waves of terrorism, stuff that we've never seen or heard before by small groups, much like Taz, I'm very worried about it, and I'm very worried about an incredibly porous border.
Fighting for you.
Thank you for having this great show on in the morning, because without it, we wouldn't have any real conservative voice out there on the radio.
Voices Mr. Right.
Like me, friend me, and we'll have a great time together.
Kevin Miller in the morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, celebrating the 20th year in talk radio for good old K. Millie. Hard to believe it's been 20 years. Hello to Pat Miller, listening in New Hampshire. Thank you very much for listening, Mom. My first listener, and still listening to this day through 580KIDO.com, the Radio Pup app. We do appreciate everyone listening, whether you're related or not. And if you listen to this show, I feel like we are related. And really this weekend, a tale of two worlds. And you know, as we take a look at just the devastation going on in France, and the French are mad that this summit that they had yesterday, over a million people there over the weekend, that we sent our ambassador, no Joe Biden, no President Obama. And really, actions speak louder than words when we're talking about fighting terrorism. And now the report, as you just heard from Fox News Radio, that one of the terrorists got away into Syria, into an ISIS-held city. The girlfriend of one of the brothers or something like that. This is like a plot from 24, really, where these terrorists get away. Well, that would never happen in the real world. So we have the terrorists getting away. The French are mad at us. And no French jokes today. But are we surprised? Are we surprised? Our great contributor to this program, our friend Chris Troupas, had a wonderful statement. In fact, when Chris Troupas, who ran for attorney general, goes out, he's actually become quite the cause celebrity because of this clip that we've made famous on this program when we're talking about, you know, where are our priorities? And I know what you're going to say. Well, Kevin, you just talked about sports for the last 20 minutes. You're right. You're right. We are obsessed with entertainment. And quite frankly, I can tell you why we're obsessed with entertainment.
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. Will run the country.
Because the news is so dour and so bad, we want to escape the madness. We want to enjoy our low fuel prices. We want to go snowmobiling. We want to go skiing. We want to go have fun. Now, are our lives so miserable? You could say the misery index is up there, but nothing compared to the 70s. You want misery, we'll give you something to be miserable about. But we have all this going on in France, and I'm sitting there over the weekend, you know, doing some work, doing some web-based stuff. By the way, we have one poll up at 580KIDO, and we'd love for you to be a part of it. And all you have to do is just go to 580KIDO, and you'll see a couple sliders there. One is urging you to pray for the victims in Moscow. Pray for them. Certainly, we will get to that in a minute, where you have three people killed, a fourth injured. But the poll that we have today is, do you support raising the fuel tax to fix Idaho roads? And I kind of like to have a little fun with these things. Yes, I like high taxes that go to big transportation. The other answered, no, our roads are fine in Idaho. Don't raise my taxes. And then you have other. However, if you read the article in the Statesman over the weekend, you have a lot of people. A lot of people, by the way, that I'm sure went to the big ball over the weekend, and I'm not a party guy. I don't really like getting up and, getting dressed up in frou-frou items. But if you are on the social media, you did see everybody who's anybody or anybody who wants to be somebody at the governor's ball. And look, it was a hard-fought campaign. They're getting ready for the legislative session and everything else. However, they're having a good time. And my point being, the same night that's happening, you have this shooting spree going on in Moscow. And I thought to myself, or Moscow, thank you for that correct pronunciation, Sweet William. And I'm sitting there looking at this, watching the breaking news, and it's almost like a microcosm of our world. We're so focused on, you know, doing what we can to live in our own personal enclave that we're unaware of the horrible situations around us. Now, look, I don't begrudge people going to the governor's ball, number one. But number two, again, how many of those folks want to raise your gas taxes? I would say quite a bit. And number three, certainly the most important thing that we'll be talking about today is this shooting in Moscow. And before that, we do want you to go to do you support the fuel tax to fix Idaho's roads? I will click on here at 580KIDO. Right now, 50% saying no, the roads are fine. 33% saying I like high taxes that go to big transportation. Let me give you a better inflection on it. I like high taxes that go to big transportation. Boy. And as I kind of attempted to write in this blog, boy, isn't it great that we've elected Republicans? No new taxes. The Idaho legislature, what is it, 80%? Is that right? 80% Republican? Now, I could understand if this were California or if this were other places, but Idaho certainly is.
We're the reddest of the red state in the United States of America.
Right.
Let's stay that way.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Now, look, I tell you, a shrewd move by Governor Otter. He's not quarterbacking this thing. He's not quarterbacking the gas tax increase. By the way, if you read that article, and I link to it at 580kido.com, just go to the Do You Support the Gas Taxes? You'll see the link on it. You know, just the arrogance of people saying that, we're going to make sure that this gets through this time. So that's one big story at 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. We'll have much more on that, but the world should be focused in on this. But if you haven't heard, let's get the latest from KREM News up north.
Critical condition after police say a lone gunman opened fire at multiple locations near the University of Idaho. Police believe the man first shot his adoptive mother at her home in Moscow, then moved to a second location where two men were shot. The third and final shooting was at the town Arby's. Officials tell us that gunman then crossed state lines and moved into Washington. Police chased the suspect for nearly 25 miles, sometimes reaching speeds over 100 miles an hour. The suspect then crashed north of Colfax. One person was arrested. He's now been identified as 29-year-old John Lee, who lives in Moscow. For the very latest tonight, we turn to KREM2's Taylor Vito, who is live in Moscow right now. Taylor.
That suspect as 29-year-old John Lee of Moscow. Authorities say he knew all three of the people he shot and killed, one of them his adoptive mother.
Around 2:31 p.m. this afternoon, we received a call. The caller stated he had been shot.
That caller was here at the office of 79-year-old financial consultant David Trail. By the time officers arrived, they found Trail and the man who called both shot.
The shooter came in and immediately started shooting.
One of the victims died at the hospital. The other was listed in critical condition this evening. While at the office, police received a call of another shooting at the Arby's on the Pullman Highway.
The shooter, when he came in, did ask for the manager, and the manager did come out, and that's when she was shot.
Investigators say the shooter, John Lee, used a handgun. He then took off in this black Honda. The Arby's manager was taken to the hospital where she died. Next, police in Pullman noticed Lee's car and attempted to pull him over. He refused, leading police on a lengthy chase through Whitman County, eventually crashing his car about 10 miles north of Colfax. Lee was taken to a hospital in Colfax and was treated for non-life-threatening injuries. He's currently at the Whitman County Jail.
And there we have the latest from up north. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. And as we said, and you can join me in this, you know, pray for these victims. You have the 61-year-old adoptive mother. You have the 76-year-old landlord. This guy goes in, John Lee. Do we have to say allegedly? Are the facts in dispute in this case? All right, allegedly. Shoots his mother, his adopted mother. Then he goes to his landlord, shoots his landlord, who's 76 years old. He then goes to Arby's and asks for the manager. Now, I don't know if he worked at Arby's, had a bad roast beef sandwich, didn't like the manager, shoots the 47-year-old female manager who had been an employee for 7 years. Look, have we learned anything in life, my friends, that life is so precious, even here in the Gem State, that we have this guy, 29-year-old, obviously deranged man, who I would hope that we would give the death penalty to, that we don't sit there and say, well, we want to spare people a trial. A 29-year-old, obviously deranged guy, kills his mother, kills his landlord, shoots someone else, kills the manager at Arby's. And one thing that struck me Saturday night as I was watching this play out, because I started, you know how it is, we live in this information society, I started going to these websites and watching these local news reports, is that I'm sitting there taking a look at this and going, here you have a woman, an employee at Arby's for 7 years. 7 years. And was doing nothing wrong, working on a Saturday night while most of us were either watching people on Facebook at the governor's ball, watching sports, or at home with our families. You know, how many of us are mad that we, you know, of our situation that we're into? But probably a lot of us weren't working Saturday nights and didn't have to. And here this woman is, you know, here's the cliche, did nothing wrong. And then you have the what happened in Notice. The Jackson's clerk, 25-year-old father of a baby girl. What did he do? Absolutely nothing. And there are a few ways that we can go with this at 580-5436. Now, I don't know if John Lee was from someplace else. I don't know if these two suspects in the Jackson's killing are from out of state, but there are bad people, and we're blessed that we can live in a society where we don't have to lock our car doors. I lock my car door. I lock the doors at house. In fact, I do a perimeter search each and every night. And yes, we should feel great and wholesome. And this is why when people attack law enforcement, when they attack the police, when they attack those guys and gals that ain't doing it for the money, but do it for a sense of need, a community, a sense to protect not only their families, but people's that families that they don't even know. That's when I have an issue with it. And I hope you do as well. But you take a look at John Lee, 29 years old, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You know, and as I said, I hope that you don't have the gun grabbers, like, with all due respect to the office he holds, President Obama, sitting there, you know, saying that this is why we've got to take guns. You know, how many crimes happened during the assault weapons ban? And if you get a, you know, probably the biggest regret Bill Clinton has is that the assault weapons ban went out the window. Now, I don't know if this was a revolver or a magazine-loaded weapon, but it was a handgun. Now, can we prevent these things from happening? Most likely not. Do we need to arm ourselves? You know, then you're going to have people on the other side and saying we should arm everybody. But when these events happen, the overall lesson is, you know, by the grace of God, there go I, number one. And number two, you know, instead of having this feeling of helplessness, we can always stop and pray. You know, we thank God for what we have and for those people that lost a mother, lost a grandfather, that lost a faithful friend, and you have the other man fighting for his life. I know what you're saying, Kevin. I moved to Idaho so these things wouldn't happen. You have the University of Idaho there. And I believe it was Channel 7 did a story. This isn't the first time you had a sniper, what is it, in the early 2000s? I go back to, and with respect to the family, you know, because they live here locally, the Benoit family that lost their daughter from the deranged professor, Ernesto Bustamante, who killed that beautiful woman. Now, we'd all like to think, hey, let's get out there and carry. Is that the solution? But how do you stop crazy? It's like, how do you stop the wackos in France? And I'm thinking to myself, here we have these folks in France mourning the deaths of these folks and people saying, we're going to stand up. And yet, in this country, have we awoken to the madness? Now, maybe you've lost someone. Maybe you do want to talk about the gun issue. Or you just want to send your regards. 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. I would like to hope and pray, and I hope that we have other people that don't use this to badmouth the state of Idaho. Over the holidays, over Christmas, our wonderful friend Heidi Harris called me. She does a talk show in Las Vegas. Hey, can you come on and talk about the two-year-old who inadvertently killed her mother because of the guns? She goes, explain Idaho to me. I go, well, we have churches, trucks, and guns in no particular order. These things happen. You go back to Sandy Hook. Here you have a mentally deranged lunatic going in, overpowering his mom, getting her weapons, and then killing her and going into that school. You know, is there a way to prevent it? I mean, you that get up and love your family each and every day, you know what I'm talking about. So I'd like to have a discussion about that, as well as what's going on in France and the fuel tax. And it looks like Mitt Romney might be in. We'll talk about all those stories and take your phone calls at 580-5436. It's Monday, everybody. Time to get up and start the day with Kevin Miller in the morning. Time for traffic at 5.
The shooter did ask for the manager, and the manager did come out, and that's when she was shot.
Investigators say 29-year-old John Lee killed his landlord, his adoptive mother, and the manager of an Arby's that his parents frequented.
It was crazy. Thought I was videotaping just another police takedown, and all of a sudden it's a shooting in Moscow and then a high-speed chase.
Making sense of a senseless world, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
You know, it is kind of, it's nuts. What was it, a 20-minute chase, John Lee trying to elude police in Pullman and everywhere else. You know, you just kind of look at some of the headlines. I understand why people check out, but, you know, ignorance of the law is no excuse. You've got a teen killed in a head-on crash. You have a man. Now, is this – do we live in Idaho or are we living in Sacramento? Here are just some of the headlines today. Man charged for alleged axe attack on girlfriend. Moscow police deal with shooting spree. Arrest warrant issued for 9-year-old. Accused of, I think, stealing gum. Yeah, accused of stealing gum. And this is out of Post Falls. We'll have much more on that coming up with Maggie O'Mara from Channel 7. But, man, a 9-year-old little boy, the police chief says it's, well, we'll let Maggie talk about that coming up. What we are yapping about and taking your phone calls at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, this shooting in Moscow, and what, if anything, could have been done to prevent it? You know, we talk about, you know, making sure that we live in a disarmed society. I think the gun laws in France are pretty tough. I would say that didn't stop them. And, you know, I believe that's why we have so many people that you know and that I know that carry. And people will argue, and I believe them, that when you have law-abiding and everybody else law-abiding citizens carrying, you're going to prevent things from happening. Now, the gun grabbers are going to say, hey, what happens if all of a sudden somebody takes that weapon and it's used against them? That rarely happens. But, I mean, you have a 76-year-old, a 61-year-old, a 47-year-old dead. Now, again, one of them adopted John Lee, the accused. The good news is the authorities got him, right? The good news is the authorities will hold him accountable, right? Let's hope. So when people talk about attacking police officers and first responders, who do you think stopped this guy? I'm sure they won't get a letter of appreciation from Al Sharpton for their work, will they? Probably not. But hats off to the police for responding, for taking this person down. And number two, our prayers go out to the families of those victims. How many of us, when they heard the news, knew we had relatives, maybe some going to the University of Idaho? It shows you that you just never know, right? Coming up, are we at war with radical Islam? Are we at war with radical Islam? One big administration official was asked that very question. It's a simple question, right? You'll be surprised by the non-answer coming up next. You're listening to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO.
Abe Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up, Rachel Sutherland will join us from Fox News Radio. More on the Moscow shooting. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Kevin. Hey, just to comment, I don't want to say too much. I'd like to find out more what's going on. I just caught this on your radio show. But the way that shootings are covered by the media is based on the religion of the individual and the color of the individual, seems to be. When we had the New York shootings, it was a black Muslim convert that killed the two officers. But what they rushed to was, well, he was mentally disturbed and so forth and what have you. Gun control was never discussed. And the Atlanta shootings, Kevin, of course we all remember that. When the shootings first started, the media went crazy. White, middle-aged, 25 to 45 years old, possibly military, NRA, on and on and on. When they were caught and they found out that they were black folks, I never heard another word about gun control. But that's the comment I had, and I'd love to hear more about the kid. Was he on Prozac or Ritalin or what have you, and things like this, and then we'll see what the media plays out and does.
Well, he's an Asian American, so I don't know how that plays as well. I think your point is valid when we're talking about race and everything else. I do believe, though, you're going to have the gun grabbers try and use this as a way of, promoting their own cause.
Well, we like I said, we know that's going to happen. And if it was a Muslim attack or what have you, it's funny that they never discuss gun control when there's a terrorist attack, even in this country. Or if it's a person, you know, with the recent problems between the officers and black folks and what have you.
Right.
They don't talk about gun control then. So maybe we can kind of just change the narrative, Kevin, and throw that back in their face and say, hey, listen, what's with the double standard on the coverage here? What difference does it make?
Right, Jim. Jim, I got to run, but thank you.
You bet. Thanks, Kevin.
Our great friend Jim in Middleton. We go to Rachel, Rachel, Rachel. I bet she's never heard that before. Rachel Sutherland from Fox News Radio. Good morning, ma'am.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Now, I thought this Keystone stuff was over. I thought you were going to give me the rewind of the Sunday shows, and I actually watched a little of them. Most of them were dealing with either Eric Holder or what's going on with the French. But Keystone, the drama continues?
Yes, it absolutely does. The Keystone XL pipeline could go for a vote today in the Senate. And as you mentioned on the Sunday show, Senator John Hoeven on Fox News Sunday saying that he's talking about the concern over the presidential veto, and he says that they're just shy of the 67 votes they need to override a veto of the Keystone XL pipeline. So that's, I think they're around 63 at this point, Kevin.
Well, Rachel, and then let's just do an encore with Fox News Sunday. You have the senator from Delaware, who I think beat Christine O'Donnell, saying that they don't have the votes. So to override the veto, what would that mean for all of us, and what would it mean politically for the president if that happens?
You know, that is a great question, Kevin. What would that mean? It would be definitely a turning point and setting the stage for how this 114th Congress is going to be working with the White House. If they were able to override this veto, it would say a lot. It would say a lot about the strength of this Congress, and it would say a lot about, well, the project itself and the desire for it, if they could get this done. It wouldn't necessarily mean that every piece of legislation that the president vetoes would be overridden, but it would definitely set a tone.
You know, you're right about that. And, you know, since football is the in thing today and every time, it would be a heck of a hit that would really, you know, it would be a long 2 years for the president, because the tone, as you said, would be set, which would empower those folks in Congress to. And we haven't seen that, I think, since the 1992 at the end of the first President Bush's run, where Congress continued to overdo his vetoes again and again. Now, Rachel, the reason why I remember that is because they did something that affected my cable television bill. So.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. You know, I was just wondering, thinking back in the cobwebs of my mind. Okay, so when was the last time that there was the Senate was able to override a veto? I'm going to need to dust off the history books or do a Google search or something.
But it was significant because that played into the reelect. Now, there is no reelect for President Obama, but then they said, see this guy, you know, he's out of touch. Because, you know, he vetoes things and Congress continues to overrun. It was an interesting campaign what they did. We'll see if the Republicans, based on all the factions, could be as unified in the Senate.
Right, exactly. And it's only time will tell here. We're going to see how this plays out. They are pressing in on these votes here. I mean, if Senator Hoeven is right, I mean, the Democrat there wouldn't maybe want to admit to that. But what they're doing also is reaching out to Democrats, trying to get them on board. We know, of course, Democrat Senator Joe Manchin is in favor of this. His state tends to go blue anyway. So, yeah, we'll just keep an eye on it. It is going to be kind of the big drama in Washington this week.
And I know you've got a bolt, but quickly, it's the dispute. One of the disputes is jobs, just how many jobs will be created with Keystone.
That's correct. One of the disputes is jobs. It's also the quality of jobs. So we're hearing 42,000 jobs being created from this project. And the White House is saying, well, you know, those are just temporary construction jobs. But then the other side of the coin is, okay, most jobs in the construction business are temporary. And a lot of these people who work construction, that's how they make their living. They're used to this. So there are arguments on both sides, but it appears either they're going to get this through the ability to override a veto, or it's a possibility, Senator Hoeven was saying on Fox News Sunday, that they could say, okay, the president has legislation he wants. In fact, today the president's unveiling a legislation today having to do with private companies and online hacking. All right, so say he wants that, and the Republicans go, okay, Mr. President, you can have that. Well, here's this rider with the Keystone Pipeline on it. So take that.
Boy, take that from Rachel Sutherland. Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks, Kevin.
Rachel Sutherland joining us from Fox News. Your thoughts on Keystone. And by the way, if you're just waking up, a couple big announcements today. Number one, we'll be carrying the governor's state of the state. And if you're like me and you want some food for your brain, you want something different, it's on 580 KIDO. I believe it's at 1 o'clock today, noon, something like that. We'll give you the official time in a minute. And number two, we've got our poll coming up today. Based on the comments, and if you haven't read the article, there's a link to it. I'm doing what I can to make it easy for you because, let's face it, look, if you're competent in social media, which I'm trying to be, you've got your Facebook, you've got your Twitter, you've got your LinkedIn, which I hear is really good. People love the LinkedIn. What happens if you just don't want to be reached out? You know what I'm saying? What happens if I reached out to you on LinkedIn, and then there's an Instagram, and then there's Snapchat and everything else? What if you just don't want to be reached on or out at? Apparently, that doesn't work in the world today. But I do give you a link, and basically you go there, 580kido.com, and we ask you the question, do you support raising the fuel tax to fix Idaho roads? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I urge you to read the article by Zach Kyle of The Statesman, and we have been on top of this for a couple years. And look, we're not going to tell you we're the best ever. We'd like to think that we are. However, we were talking about this, I guess, since the last time it failed. And as I said, I think it was to Tea Party Bob, as I said, call them the establishment, call them the lobbying class, call them whatever you want. They feel emboldened, entitled, and empowered. And that's before they went to the governor's ball. A business alliance predicts the legislature will finally pay to improve the state's highways. are you willing to pay? 580KIDO.com, or you can call me 580-5436, 580-KIDO. By the way, how about that Eric Holder? Eric Holder was asked a question by Chucky Todd and George Snuffleupagus, Stephanopoulos, yes, I know, on the two Sunday shows. Very simple question, you would think. Hey, are we at war with the radical Islam? Not with the Muslims, not with the Islam, the radical Islam. Very simple question. Now, remember, as we know with Eric Holder, he has no problem speaking his mind when it comes to guns, right?
We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Right. We brainwash people against guns. Coming up next, Eric Holder on radical Islam. He'll answer that question. Is America, is the U.S. at war with radical Islam? And let me tell you, you'll be surprised by his answer. You'll hear it with Kevin Miller next, 580KIDO. Time to get you to work.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Stage at the first debate. I don't know who they all are going to be at this stage.
If you don't see anybody you think
we're gonna, among those people, we're going to find someone who catches fire, who ignites the interest of the Republican base, and you're going to see someone who can go on to become president. And that's why I said, look, I'm not running, I'm not planning on running, and I got nothing new on that story.
Wow. Kevin Miller with you here at 580KIDO. I blogged about this on our Facebook page. That Mitt Romney now is thinking about running for office, running for the White House. Romney 67, Bush 61. Are you happy with either choice? We'll get to that in a minute. But first, yes, I know, Sweet William. What's that? Now you're being rude, okay? Talk about flip-flopping. Mitt Romney. We'll discuss that coming up here. But before that, let's take a look at what Eric Holder had to say over the weekend. Are we at war with radical Islam? Whether you're Tom Munns or Liberal Steve, I think they would give us a much more honest and concise answer than the Attorney General, but you be the judge.
First question here. The French Prime Minister this morning declared that France is at war with radical Islam. Would you say the United States is at war with radical Islam?
Well, I would say that we are at war with terrorists who commit these heinous acts and who use Islam. They use a corrupted version of Islam to justify their actions. We are bound and determined to hold them accountable, to find them wherever they are, and then to try, as you indicated, to come up with ways in which we prevent young people who become attracted to this radical ideology becoming members of these groups and perpetrating these heinous acts.
Now, hey, I've got a question here. Are we at war with radical Islam like the French, or are we not at war, or are we at war with the young people that practice the radical Islam, not the radical Islam itself?
Seems that
yesterday that France is at war with radical Islam. Is the U.S. at war with radical Islam?
There we have it. This is George Stephanopoulos from ABC. Mr. Attorney General, the White House made him available over the weekend. Are we at war with radical Islam? Are we at war with communism? Are we at war with Nazis? We're at war with racism, right? How about radical Islam? How about radical Islam?
Well, I certainly think that we are at war with those who would commit terrorist attacks and who would corrupt the Islamic faith in the way that they do to try to justify their terrorist actions. So that's who we are at war with. And we are determined to take the fight to them, to prevent them from engaging these kinds of activities. Our president has...
You talk about the tune-out factor and why so many of us have moved on to who won the Golden Globes as opposed to, you know, getting the right answer. I mean, you ever notice, and this happens all the time when you ask somebody at work or somebody at home or anywhere else, hey, man, Are we at war with radical Islam? Well, you know, we have to define war, and we're not at war with radical Islam. We're at war with the people who practice radical Islam.
Indicated that we will be calling on February the 18th a summit so that we deal with better ways in which we can counter violence.
A summit to deal with the radicals. Quickly to Patriot Ray, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, indeed. The American people are at war with radical Islam, and those who believe in the Quran 100% and do not fight against what they believe as far as killing the infidels, and we are infidels. Anyone who does not have their belief is an infidel. And they behead their own people. The Sharia law is a horrible way to go about things, and it seems like our president supports that. And we've got areas in the United States that are being overtaken. It's going to be just like France. We're going to be in the same boat if we don't straighten up and look forward and say this has got to come to an end. Evil is evil, and you have to call it for that, Kevin. It's time that the American people stood up to this president who does nothing, and this Attorney General who sits back and flip-flops back and forth and doesn't say anything, really. So, yes, we're at war, but the president seems to be not.
Well, you should be the Attorney General, then.
Well, I'll tell you what, somebody needs to take over for this guy. It'll be good when he gets out. The problem is, I'm afraid the president's going to appoint somebody else as bad or worse than he is, because that's the direction he always seems to go. His czars are against the United States, in my mind. And those who support him in Congress are just as bad as he is. And nobody wants to stand up to him because he is black and that we're prejudiced if you say that.
Well, Patriot Ray, I got to run, but thank you. All right, Jim, thank you very much. 6:59:34 in Nampa. Coming up next, Dave Petzo. We'll talk money news. Keep your hand on your wallet. Are your ears burning, Kevin?